right, I want you to find your place again in the book of Esther, chapter 8, the book of Esther, chapter number 8. I'm giving you part two of a message that I began on this past Sunday night on the first three words of the chapter. The title of the message is On That Day. If you remember, in chapter 6, we preached on the first three words of that chapter, and that was on that night. But now the day has come, and we're preaching about on that day. This is part two tonight. Let's pray together, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 9. Our Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us in this Bible study to understand what's being said. May the will of God be done. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. Lord God, would you meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Esther chapter 8, verse number 9. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, to the lieutenants and to the deputies and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. Now, aren't you glad I'm not going to have that be the memory verse this week? Somebody say amen right there, you know? Yes, verse 10. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil upon them for a prey. Now, we've already begun the message on that day. Now, as we come to this chapter, some of this is repeat, just bear with me here. But as we come to this chapter, we've just seen how Haman has been found out before the king. The king has given the commandment to take him and hang him on the gallows that he made for Mordecai. Now, he who had lived for possessions, I'm talking about Haman, now had left all of these possessions behind. You know, be careful that you don't live for things. Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now, it's important for us to remember that even though Haman is dead, the evil deed that he set in motion is not. Because you remember, any kind of a law that the king had his ring and signet on, it could not be reversed. So even though Haman, the head honcho, if you will, is gone, he's off the scene, the Jews are still sitting on death row. Now, on that day, as we come to chapter 8, on that day, we see the king gives Haman's house to Esther, who in turn gives it to Mordecai. Now, get this. Haman wanted the Jews' land in chapter 3, verse 13, but now his land is being given to the Jews. Mordecai is brought in before the king where Esther shares what he is to her. This is all in chapter 8. The king then takes Haman's ring and gives it to Mordecai. Now this king, this ring was the authority of the king. Now Haman had used this particular ring selfishly and lost his life, while Mordecai will use it unselfishly and others will receive life. Now as we consider this thought of on that day, there are four things that we see on that day as we consider the Jews sitting on death row. Now as I began this message Sunday night, the obvious application, not the interpretation, but the application of this is just like the Jews were sitting on physical death row, there is a lost world sitting on spiritual death row. Now that being the case, on that day there's four things we see. I've already given you two of them. Let me just tap them on the head and go on. Number one, we noticed on that day the intercession of the queen. Now we see this in verses 3-6. That Esther the queen comes in before the king, bows down, begins to weep. And she basically tells him, I cannot endure my people on death row. The two things that I applied that to is number one, we who are saved, we have one interceding for us right now. His name is Jesus Christ. Secondly, we applied it that we should be interceding for those who are on death row. No doubt that most of us, if not all of us, know somebody who is not saved. And I ask you and challenge you, how often do you pray for that person? We learned this, point number one. Secondly, we've already hit this. We notice not only the intercession of the queen, but number two, we notice the instruction of the king. Just to put it into perspective, what happens here, if you want the message, go back and get it. I'm trying just to summarize it. If you keep in mind that every law that the king put into practice back in this day, I'm talking about here, the law of the Medes and Persians, if you will, he could not reverse it. So Esther comes to him and says she wants him to reverse it. And he basically says, I cannot do that, but I'll tell you what I will do. I will not rescind this law, but I'll let you write another one. I'll let you write another law right beside it that the first law says death, the second one gives life. And we apply that in this way, that the law of God has been set in motion, that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That law will not be rescinded. That law is already set in motion. God will not reverse that. But praise God, he's come along beside of that law. And he's written another through his son Jesus Christ, that we who are under the curse can be set free. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Now we come to point three. This is where we pick up our lesson for tonight. Number three, on that day, not only the intercession of the queen, the instruction of the king, but number three, we notice in verses 9 to 14, we notice the intensity of the work. We notice the intensity of the work. Now we read down through verse number 11. Pick up our reading in verse number 12. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan the palace. Now in these verses, verses 9 to 14, we're reminded again of the decree that has been established as a law to come along beside the other law that would destroy the Jews. Now this particular law would give the Jews hope of being saved from death. It's interesting to note in these verses how this particular work of spreading this news was handled. You know what word comes to my mind? Intense. I'm talking about they were active. I mean, their heart was in this thing. They were emotional about this thing. They weren't half-hearted. They were trying as often and as quick as they could to get the message everywhere around the provinces. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's what the Lord's work needs. We need some intensity behind the work of God. And I'm telling you something tonight. If you'll notice with me what happens in verse number 9, the writing was unto every province. And if you'll notice, it was unto every people after their language. There's some beautiful application right here in just a minute. What I'm talking about, now we understand that the interpretation is that the Jews are under threat of death, and yet the queen has interceded, the king has given instruction to write a law, Mordecai writes, has the law written, and then they're spreading it out. Obviously this applies to the word of God trying to reach a lost and dying world, folks. And I'm telling you something here, it's interesting that they made sure that this law that was going to give life in the place of death, they made sure every person had it in their own language. And they made sure that it was written to every single province that was under his control. Verse number 10, the letters were sent on horseback, on mules, on camels, and young dromedaries. Verse 13, the copy of the writing was published unto all people. Verse number 14, the posts were being hastened and pressed on by what? By the king's commandment. Now I'm telling you, as we consider these thoughts about this physical letter that would give the Jews hope that they don't have to die, they can still live, it's an obvious application concerning the delivering the message of salvation to a lost and dying world. Now this being the case, let me apply this in different ways. What can we learn from the intensity of the work from these messengers to get the message out? Well, number one, under this, again, I'm emphasizing application. Number one, they delivered the message in their own language. And I'm telling you something here, just as the message of hope was written in the language of the people here, the precious Word of God can and should be written into the languages of the people around the world. I'm telling you that there are those who are trying to help in this endeavor. I'm telling that it needs to be written, and it has been in Portuguese, in Spanish. I'm talking about in different languages. But there are people groups around the world that in their own language, they do not have the Word of God. I'm burdened about that. You ought to be too. And I'm telling you, one thing I'm praying about is God help us to have discernment about maybe some organizations or some people who are trying to help reach the world with the written Word of God in their own language. I'm telling you, aren't you glad you have a copy of the Bible in English? Isn't that wonderful? What in the world would happen if you opened your Bible and it's a different language? You couldn't read it. You don't understand it. Now I'm telling you something, this is a great need. God wants every single person on planet Earth to be saved. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, which means that somebody's dropped the ball somewhere. And I'm telling you that we need to get the message around the world in the different languages around the globe. This is something that we need to do. I'm telling you that these people were so intense about getting this message out just to save somebody's physical life. But this is the message that saved somebody's soul. By the way, there was a man last night, not going to give you his name because I hope he'll make a public profession of faith. But he bowed his head yesterday in the privacy of his own home. Daniel and I was there with him. And as a 42-year-old man who just had his birthday Monday, turned 42, had a spiritual birthday Tuesday. Praise God. And I'm telling you something, God's still saving people from their sin. That's what they need. They need to be saved. They need to hear the message of salvation. And they need to hear it in their own language. Secondly, we can apply the intensity of this work. Is that the fastest form of communication was chosen. Now, you can read verse number 10 and see all these different animals. Horseback, mules, camels, young dromedaries. Somebody says, well, some of those aren't very fast. You might be right, but it was the quickest animals back in this day for them to use. There's a great lesson here. Do you understand that God has put so many tools at our fingertips to get the gospel around the world? It's exciting about this missionary that we support out in Utah. I'm talking about this missionary who's established this BibleTruth.com, and over 700,000 people have visited that website around the world. You know, we have a website. It's a great tool. God is using it. But you know, there's got to be a way to get the gospel the quickest way we can around the world. Now, does that mean that we don't send missionaries? No, that's part of it. But it's part of the package. I'm telling you that one of the quickest ways to spread the gospel is by means of internet. There's no doubt about it. You know what they're doing down at Temple Baptist Church? Now, I'm not comparing our church to there, so please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but I like what he's doing. They have bought every state and bought every continent. BaptistFriends.org. In other words, it's Tennessee, BaptistFriends.org. Alaska, BaptistFriends. They've bought every state. They've bought every continent. Every one of them. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get the gospel around the world. You know how much it costs to support one of those websites? Take Africa, BaptistFriends.org. You know how much it cost to maintain that website for 1 month? $30. A dollar a day. Do you think it might be worth helping maybe in that endeavor? To help get the gospel around the world, and for $1 a day we can help reach the continent of Africa with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I think it's worth it. And I'm telling you something, it's one of the quickest ways we can get the gospel around the world. There's no doubt about it. What we learn here is that they use the fastest form of communication. Now that doesn't mean we don't knock doors, because that's in the Word of God. That doesn't mean we don't give gospel tracts out. That's the will of God for us. But on top of that, we ought to take advantage of the tools that God has brought into play. I'm not talking about, listen, hey, you take Facebook. By the way, some people are against it. I'm against it when it's used for wickedness. But if it's used to spread the gospel, then use the fire out of it, is what I say. I'm saying this, that what God has given somebody the knowledge to come up with, that's God-given. And the reason that God has allowed the internet to come on the scene where anybody around the world with the touch of a button can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this is what it's about. The fastest form of communication was chosen. Number three, I'm just applying these things. I'm sweating like a stuck pig up here, I'm telling you. Number three, the message was delivered to all who were sitting on death row. If you see this in verse 9 and verse 13, then were the king's scribe called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day there, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and deputies, rulers of provinces which were in India and in Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, according to their language. Look at verse number 14. And so the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. Verse 13, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people. We see here that this news, this letter, this message was not just sent to 100 provinces. It was not just sent to 120 provinces. It was sent to every last province under the authority of the king. And we see here that every Jew in every province that was under the terrible decree of Haman needed to hear the good news of hope. Would you not agree with that? Sure they did. It's wonderful to hear that every province was given the writing that set them free. Oh, would it not have been disastrous for this wonderful news not to have been delivered to all of them? You know, in the same way, Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's bad news, and it has reached down and touched every single human being. Every one of us around the world. Yet John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our great God has commanded us to take this message around the world to every creature. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's a movement going on today that tries to teach. I'm talking about the hyper aspect of it. I'm talking about hyper-Calvinism. There's a movement going on today that teaches that God ordained some for heaven, some for hell, and the reason that some have never heard is because God never ordained them to hear the message. If that's true, I'll eat my Bible. If that's true, then God's a liar. Because the last time I checked my Bible, he said every creature. He said all the world. He said that all might be saved. It says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm telling you, it is not God's will for somebody to go to hell. It's God's will for we who have been set free to get the message to those who have not, so they can hear it and be saved. This is what we learn. The first decree was sent to all the provinces. You know the beautiful thing? So was the second one. I'm talking about this. The first one that Haman put into practice, and
and had the authority of the king. It went everywhere. It went to all 127 provinces. Every last Jew was made aware of it. But whenever the other law that granted life was written beside it, Mordecai and the others made sure that everybody who had the bad news, they was at least going to hear the good news along with it. Man, that's exciting, isn't it? That's world evangelism. And that's what it's all about. Then there's a fourth way that we apply this. By the way, I'm not asking you, are you with me here? Because I'm giving you a lot of information. But I'm applying this under the intensity of the work. What do we learn from this? How they delivered the message? Well, we learn number one, that they delivered the message in their own language. We learn that they chose the fastest form of communication. We learned here that that the message was delivered to all the Jews in all the provinces. Then number four, we learned this. They were hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. We see this in verse number 14. It says, so the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened. That means hurried, borne along, and pressed on. Notice this, by the king's commandment. It's interesting to note that they were intense about getting this message delivered to those sitting on death row. Why were they so intense? Let me tell you why. The Bible tells us why. Because the king told them to. That's it. They were pressed on and they were hastened about. Why? By the king's commandment. You know, we all need to understand something. And what we need to understand is that the delivering of the message of salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ is a message that we should get in a hurry to get out. We shouldn't sit back on it. We should be saying, God, how do you want us to get it out? How do you want us to get it out? How do you want us to get it out? The Lord's laid something on my heart, and I'm still not done with it, about writing things down about different tools that's available to us, different ways that we can get the gospel out, different ministries to get the gospel out with. We're proceeding, we're pressing. But I'm telling you, we ought to get in a hurry on this. Normally it's good advice to say, be patient, wait on the Lord. That's good advice on a majority of things. When it comes to getting the message of salvation out, what are you waiting on? The Bible says they hurried with it. They were hastened about it. They were pressed on because the king had commanded them. You know, in the same way, folks, listen to me. It's a shame when King Ahasuerus gets more respect from his servants than the King of Kings gets from his. We have a greater king than King Ahasuerus, folks. We have a greater king than King Xerxes. That's the same king, by the way. I'm telling you, our king is King Jesus. And Jesus has told us and commanded us throughout his word to get the message of salvation out. Again, Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. You know, it's a grief to me, and I'm sure it's a grief to the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, folks. I'm being honest with you. There have been too many times in my life where I've disobeyed this command. There have been times in my life when I've walked by somebody and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, give him a track, and I didn't do it. I'm ashamed of myself. Let me tell you one reason why we ought to pack our pockets full of gospel tracts, and one reason why we ought to try to exhaust our influence, and one reason we ought to try to get the gospel out around the world and give the faith promise and help Brother Edgar Fagali in just a few moments, praise God. I'm talking about, hey, why should we do that? Why should we even give our energy to those things? Let me tell you why. Because he has commanded us to do it. And they were pressed on and hastened by the king's commandment, and that should be the same thing that's said about me. I should be in a hurry to get the gospel out because he's told me to do that. I should be pressing on because God told me to do it. By the way, if you do it for any other reason, you'll quit. You will quit. If you do it just because you're trying to earn a name, or you're doing it just to ease your conscience, or you're doing it for some other reason, it's not going to last. But if you do it because your God has been so good to you, and He told you, here's what I want you to do, give the gospel out. When you really see His goodness in your life, you'll have no problem with it. You won't. You show me somebody who's not giving the gospel, and I show you somebody who's lost sight of the goodness of God in their life. Because God has earned the right to tell us to do anything He wants us to do. And He simply said, I want the world to hear about my Son. I'm cut. I'm cut. Because I know that half the world has never heard His name. You speak His name, half the world's never heard it. You take a breath and let it out. There's 10 people that just died and went to hell. And most of them have never even heard the name Jesus. If that doesn't burden you, something's wrong somewhere. I'm telling you. You say, where do we start? Do we start in Africa? No. You start in your own Jerusalem. You start in your neighborhood. You start at your workplace. Young people, you start at your school. I know a lot of them are not in here. You start where God has you. Do you understand that if every child of God would reach their Jerusalem, if every child of God would follow Acts 1:8, we'd reach the world. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Wait a minute. The church's Jerusalem is right here. But your Jerusalem is your neighborhood. Your Jerusalem is your workplace. Your Jerusalem is your family. Your Jerusalem is your school. Everybody has a Jerusalem. Then you go on. And in Judea, our state. Maybe for you, it's the next street down the road. Samaria, our nation. Maybe for you, it's another zip code. And the uttermost part of the earth. For the world, what is it for Buffalo Ridge? It's our Faith Promise Missions Program. We're trying to help get the gospel around the world. You know, if everybody said, I'll reach my Jerusalem, my Judea, my Samaria, and I'll try to help reach the world, what a difference it would make. Amen. Amen, Brother Graham. I'm telling you. Hey, it's always personal. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to me. I'm just letting you listen in on it. I need this. We learn, number three, on that day, we see the intensity of the work. Then number four, in verses 15 to 17, on that day, we notice the impact of the message. We've noticed the intercession of the queen, the instruction of the king, the intensity of the work. Now we see the impact of the message. Look at verse number 15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. And the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Wait a minute. Just a few chapters ago, they're in gloom. They're perplexed in chapter 3. But when they get this message, now they have light. They've been sitting in darkness. They now have gladness. They've been in gloom. They now have joy. They've been depressed. They now have honor when they had humility. In every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon all. I'm telling you. Verse 15, we see Mordecai comes out from the king's presence. And when he comes out this time, he comes out different than he went in. When he steps out, he's dressed in royal clothing. He has a golden crown. And then beginning in verse 16, we notice the impact of the message that he was behind, if you will, delivered to all the provinces. The Bible says the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Verse 17 tells us that where the king's commandment and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness. And then it didn't stop there. Many of the other people who weren't Jews joined ranks with them. You know, in all of this, we see that the impact of this message of hope is spread joy. It spread gladness. It spread light, honor, and caused others to be converted over to them. Let me pause here and say, you want me to tell you why it caused all these things?
because they believed it. Do you understand? If the message had been delivered and they didn't believe it, they wouldn't have joy and gladness. But because they believed the message, it impacted their life. And it gave them joy in the place of sorrow. It gave them gladness in the place of sadness. It took their fear and turned it into peace. It took their turmoil and it turned it into triumph. In chapter 3, verse 15, when the first message of death was delivered, the Bible says Shushan was perplexed. However, with this next message of hope and life, their perplexity turns into joy and gladness. The book opens with Jews keeping a low profile. But now Jews are proud of their race and so happy with what God has done that they're attracting others to themselves. What a difference. What a change. What made this change? What made this impact? You know what it was? It was the message delivered by the king. My friends, this is the same impact that the gospel of Jesus Christ had on you if you're saved. Amen. You're saved. You've not always been saved. You were born in darkness. Somebody was intense about getting the message to you. And because of that, your darkness has turned into light. Your sadness has turned into gladness. Your sorrow is now turned into joy. And there's a lost and dying world that's waiting on somebody to get on horseback, to call a mule over to them, to get a young dromedary, or even find a camel if that's the only thing you can find. I can never get up on one, but anyway. The world's waiting to hear the message that you and I have. Are you sitting on it? Are you doing everything you can? Are you intense about getting that message out? Do you understand this chapter? I've given you the interpretation that the Jews are physically under threat. And physically speaking, they've been given an opportunity of hope. And the only reason they had it is because somebody was intense about getting the message of the king out to them. Application. People are dying all around us. And we need to be intense about taking the king's message by his commandment and spread it everywhere we go. And where it is believed, there will be joy and gladness and peace. But God gives us the privilege of being the messenger boy or the messenger girl. Are you delivering? This is my heartbeat. If you don't know that by now, you've been passed out for the past year and a half. This is my heartbeat. And I believe it's the heartbeat of God. Let's go get them. Amen. Let's get with it. I'd like to see some of you all on a camel anyway, you know. On that day, the intercession of the queen, the instruction of the king, the intensity of the work, the impact of the message. What a chapter. Good night, what a chapter. Powerful. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you. Help us tonight. May the will of God be done. Help us to guide, lead, and direct this invitation. Lord, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, I want them just to begin to play through softly. As soon as they're prepared there, they can begin to play. I never want to overlook anybody who may be here without the Lord. So I don't want to do that tonight. Is it possible that there might be somebody who's walked into this church service tonight and you're in darkness, spiritually speaking? You're sitting on spiritual death row. I've got good news for you. Jesus died to set you free. He died to set you free. If you'll believe the message of salvation, he'll save you. Come and let us take a Bible and share with you how you can be saved by confessing your sin and asking the Lord to come into your heart. Or maybe tonight you're convicted. By the way, it's not a bad thing when you're convicted. A lot of times that's a good thing. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but as far as the intensity of the work, the impact of the message, and how hard they worked at getting that message out as quickly as they could to every single Jew in every province in their own language. Have you say, Jody, God is speaking to me, and I want to be somebody. Now, some of you may already be doing this, but I'm saying, I'm not playing games with you. I'm saying if in your heart right now God is dealing with you, and you say, Jody, He's speaking to me. The best I know how, this is the Lord speaking to my heart. And I want to be busy, in a hurry, intense, about spreading the news of Jesus Christ. I want to be faithfully riding my horse, riding my mule, riding my camel, riding my young dromedary. I want to be faithful in spreading the news. And you say, Jody, God is speaking to me. If that's you, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, Jody, that's me. God's speaking to me. The Lord is speaking to me. If you raised your hand, thank you. I want you to listen to me just a moment. If you raised your hand, I want you to listen to me just a moment. In just a moment, we're going to open this altar. And I got to be honest with you. I'm right with you. God's speaking to me. The Lord's dealing in my heart. And can I say this to you? He's dealing in your heart for a reason. There may be somebody scattered around the globe that humanly speaking, they're depending on your decision tonight. Whatever it is, let's do business with the Lord, shall we? Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a great way in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, as soon as Brother Gary begins to sing, you leave your place, you come. As he sings, come now, come on.
So
come on.
Little time, come on the now. Harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest. And hope he'll smile and that he'll say, well done. Today we reap or miss a golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in.
They're playing through soft. I'd like folks to take their time. We're going to take our time tonight. If you're standing, I'd like you to look this way. It's a question I'm sure that you've heard before. I've even asked when I've preached out before, and I'm echoing it to my own heart. Do we really, really believe that there's a hell? Do we really, really believe that there's a heaven? Do we really believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? See, in our minds, we answer yes immediately. But the way you're living your life is really your answer. You understand what I just said? There's no way somebody can say, I believe in hell, and never tell somebody about Christ. That's an impossibility. It's impossible. I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I believe that God's going to judge people righteously. And I believe there's flames that somebody's going to be engulfed in for eternity who says no to Christ. I'll be honest. Too many times in my life when I've been spoken to give that person a gospel tract. I hope I've not missed many like that, but I know I've missed a handful. Probably more than I even realize. You know my problem at that time? Me. I'm either afraid of how they're going to respond.
And at that time, if I be honest, I'm not believing the Bible. Because if I really believe what that book said, there would nothing stop me from sharing my faith with that person about Christ. Everybody understand what I just said? You know that's true, don't you? And I'm simply trying to tell you, I'm not where I need to be. I'm not saying be like me. I'm saying be better than me. I've missed too many people in my life. But I know one thing, the fish are still biting. We had one bite last night. They're biting all over the place. You know what God spoke to me about last night when I was visiting with this dear man? After we got done, you know what he spoke to me about? You want fish, boy, you got to go out and fish. You're not going to catch them on dry ground. You got to get out in the boat and you've got to put a hook in the water if you think you're even going to get a nibble. Too many times churches sit back and wait on sinners to come, when the whole time God is emphasizing his word, go, 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 compel them to come, compel them to come. You know, you see all this. I'm not trying to re-preach this to you. This is my heartbeat. I know in my heart I'm right. This is what it's about. We all need to do a better job. And I need to do a better job in giving you opportunities. I'm burdened about training you better in the area of soul winning. But here's something I want to challenge you with. If you're saved, you're already trained. Don't wait on the pastor to train you to get out and do it. Just rely on Jesus. Tell the world what God's done for you. You know how you got saved, don't you? That's what they need to hear, how you got saved. Don't wait on us to train you. You get out. And then as ministries open up, you get involved if God leads you to do that. We're going after it, folks. You know what I want to be said about Buffalo Ridge? They were moving in haste. They were pressed on by the King's commandment. That's our desire. Amen. I'm hitting it on the head tonight. This is it. Brother Steve, won't you come up here just a moment? They're playing through. Just keep playing. I like that beautiful music.